Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The moment has arrived, the beginning of the end, or at the very least, the beginning of the final hour of the Monday edition of the Bobby Mac Show. However, it is remarkably similar to the preceding 3 hours. Let's do that. Grab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. Great to have you along. Now, substantially more developments today in COVID-19, the coronavirus, in terms of its spread, and interesting in how it is being handled as well. A number of texters have pointed out, some other folks emailing as well about Rush Limbaugh today, saying, "Well, nothing really to worry about here. Let's see. One of them pointed out, I think, some of the exact language that Rush used. But Limbaugh telling his listeners, coronavirus, same as the flu, that it's being weaponized as propaganda to hurt Trump. 80,000 known cases around the world, over 2,600 dead. How many unreported dead? Dangerous to mislead the masses with fake news. That's no different than the left." That is a tweet from talk show host Michael Savage. So, you know, you can believe what you want, but look, typically, my reaction in a situation like this or something similar, if I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to make it on the side of caution, all right? And I want to have as much information as I can get, which, sadly, has been hard to come by. A lot of what I'm about to share with you came from Zero Hedge today. This particular piece is from Charles Hugh Smith of the Two Minds blog. "Given the exquisite precariousness of the global financial system and the economy, hopes for a brief and mild downturn appear to be wildly unrealistic." And you saw what happened to the market today, down over 1,000 points. "If we ask a panel of epidemiologists to imagine a virus optimized for rapid spread globally and highly lethal, they would likely include these characteristics: highly contagious, with an RO of 3 or higher, a novel virus, so there's no immunity via previous exposure. Those carrying the pathogen can infect others while asymptomatic, that is, they have no symptoms, for a prolonged period of time, 14 to 24 days. Some carriers never become ill, so they have no idea they're infecting others. The virus is extremely lethal to vulnerable subpopulations, but not so lethal to the entire populace that it kills its hosts before they can transmit the virus to others. And we've seen that the young and the old seem to be the most vulnerable to this. The virus can be spread by multiple pathways, including aerosols, that would be droplets from sneezing or coughing, brief contact, that would be like hotel desk clerks, taxi drivers, etc., contact with surfaces, credit cards, faucets, door handles, etc. Ideally, the virus remains active on surfaces for prolonged days. That would be 7+ days. And the list goes on. And then he continues, as you probably know by now, these are all characteristics of COVID-19, and this is why it is unstoppable. As we now know, millions of people left Wuhan while the epidemic was raging in January, spreading the virus throughout China and the world via hundreds of airline flights to other nations. As noted before, no data doesn't mean no virus. Even in the U.S., facilities do not have test kits, for example. No one in Hawaii has been tested for coronavirus as health officials wait for kits from the CDC. The situation in developing nations is similar. Few, if any, test kits, which are not 100% reliable, and so multiple tests may be required, so there is no means to ascertain who is a carrier. It's impossible to string together a benign narrative that includes these reports. Virus kills Chinese film director and family in Wuhan. 4 of 5 family members dead. Last survivor in intensive care. Researchers find 61.5% of coronavirus patients with severe pneumonia won't survive. Most patients in South Korean psychiatric ward infected with the coronavirus. If we asked a panel of business executives to imagine a global system optimized for vulnerability to external shocks, they would likely include these characteristics. Long global supply chains, that is 4, 5, and 6 layers deep, so those in the top layers have no idea where parts and components actually come from. Just-in-time deliveries and limited inventories dependent on complex logistics, so any shock quickly disrupts the entire network as key nodes fail. A global supply chain dependent on hundreds of financially marginal factories and suppliers who do not have the means to pay employees for weeks or months while the factory is idle. A global supply chain dependent on hundreds of financially marginal units. Oh, sorry, just read that. A global consumer economy dependent on the permanent expansion of debt. A global economy dependent on the wealth effect of rising stock and housing markets, which then evaporates. So there is much more on this, and it gets more disturbing the further you go. Meantime, just in the last 24 hours, China announcing today it has canceled the biggest political event of the year, the National People's Congress, the NPC, slated for March 5 as the COVID-19 outbreak continues to worsen, reported the WAPO, Washington Post. The cancellation suggests the virus outbreak continues to worsen with more than 77,000 confirmed cases, nearly 2,500 deaths across mainland China. As we've talked about before, the real numbers are much higher. China attempting to reboot its economy as production shutdowns have crashed economic output. The most significant problem with rebooting the economy is that the virus must be completely eradicated first. Otherwise, it will continue to spread across towns and factories, forcing even longer shutdowns and prolonging the crisis. This is China's catch-22, where in the past it could lie itself out of almost every problem. Now, the more lying it does, the worse the situation gets. There is much more of this, and some of the video that's coming out of China is truly horrifying. Chinese government cracking down as much as they can, but still some videos are getting out, and what they're showing is pretty disturbing. 6:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here, and then right back on the other side as we cruise on here on the bonus hour on Monday.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 6:20 here on the Bobby Mack Show on this Monday. The coronavirus spreading exponentially now. Pictures here of a supermarket in Milan, Italy. On Sunday, they are stripped bare. Pictures from Milan, Lombardy. Antonio Garcia tweeting, Italians hoarding essentials in order to survive. Lockdowns in place in the regions of Lombardy and Veneto, with 50,000 people being unable to leave without special permission. Numerous museums, cinemas, bars, businesses, schools also shut down. Sporting activities suspended. The Venice Carnival also canceled. Designer Giorgio Armani streamed his Milan Fashion Week event from an empty theater. The panic largely being driven by the speed at which coronavirus cases in Italy jumped from 3 on Thursday to over 220, said Melinda Barret, a Filipino woman working in Milan as a domestic helper. There's panic and a surreal atmosphere. I'm traveling using a face mask, and this morning in the metro, there were fewer people than usual, most of them with a mask and the rest with a scarf protecting their face. My voice is being silenced by free speech hating Silicon Valley behemoths who want me disappeared forever. It is crucial that you support me. This is from the individual who was sharing that information. Greece also contending with an outbreak. Whoops. Also contending with an outbreak as well. To the phones we go, beginning with Susan, who is in Greenville. Hi, Susan, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, just listening to you. Okay, you covered it all. I have a friend who's over at the military base in Aviano, Italy.
Right.
Who has sent me a bunch of information, and now they're closing the schools, and that's what he's been saying on the base. The commissary, bread, the milk, everything is gone. They've closed the restaurants down, everything. But that big carnival that they were having, they've had tens of thousands of tourists that have come in.
Yes.
And they've shut everything down 2 days early, which is going to hurt them financially from the tourist standpoint. But I know in Venice that they had at least 25 people that are with it, two elderly who are already hospitalized. And, yeah, it's going fast. But with these, you know, tens of thousands of people traveling in, it's bad, even at the airbase.
Yeah,
they warned all families, no more traveling. Stay put. Don't do this. They've given them all big warnings. Don't go anywhere.
And I'm wondering how long it's going to be before the president reacts to this, and what steps, if any, he will take. Because I know that in San Antonio, they have cases reported there, where there also is a huge military base.
Yes. Yes. Well, you guys, when you're international and the way we travel,
right,
and, you know, who's allowed to come in, and you just never know. You never know. It's going to be bad. I think it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I share your concern. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that information. Richard is next up. Richard is in Greenville. Hi, Richard, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, Bobby Mack. I guess that closes Walmart down, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, look, when the supply chain goes down, because obviously nobody's working in China, it's spread to Japan as well. That's where that cruise ship, the Diamond Princess, is. This thing, as it spreads, is going to have huge economic downturn effects.
Oh, yeah. And there's even more to come after that, because what they need to do, and I don't know if anybody's talked to or our government needs to do, is they need to take the manifest from every flight that is incoming from anywhere from about 2 days after the outbreak was even not said anything about Wuhan. You might have dated it back. And, you know, it's not doable. Yes, it is. I mean, they can put flight information and vet people in 10 seconds if they have to.
And the disturbing part, yeah, thank you, Richard. That's a good point. Part of the disturbing trend that we're seeing here is that all of these governments, beginning with the CHICOMs, are behind the power curve. There is a COVID-19 post on here. This is also from Zero Hedge. ZeroHedge.com is the website. As noted before, it doesn't take much to break a system dependent on ever-rising debt and speculation. Chart below illustrates the dynamic where debt loads, speculative bets, and expenses are all at nosebleed levels, the slightest decline triggering collapse. Given the exquisite precariousness of the global financial system and economy, hopes for a brief and mild downturn are wildly unrealistic. And then he has a chart on here that goes by date, beginning with when the virus leaps to humans, late October, early November. Next on the timeline, initial spread, first cases in hospitals, late December, early January. And then below that, the window in which extreme restrictions could have limited the spread of the virus. But, of course, this didn't happen. Officials suppress warnings as rumors. You may remember that phase. Then, unrestricted travel spreads the virus to other cities, followed by thousands infected, hundreds gravely ill and dead, healthcare overwhelmed. Officials finally act. This is now January. Virus spreads within China and to the rest of the world. Travel restricted, but too late. Asymptomatic carriers continue spreading the virus. And this is a really disturbing part of this whole scenario. You can be, essentially, you can be Typhoid Mary. You can be walking around and have the COVID-19 virus, not display any symptoms, but still carrying it to other people who then themselves either get sick or themselves are asymptomatic. And the bottom line is the spread continues. Next on the timeline, officials and citywide quarantines declare viruses under control. Hope for cures and vaccines feeds complacency. Followed by wave two outbreaks around the world. Half measures fail, vaccine months away. And we're seeing, you know, it's here in the U.S., it's in Greece, it's in Italy. Those places are pretty far removed from China, but not in the world of air travel the way we have it today. And finally, world finally awakens to the pandemic, global economy slides into depression. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But the way things are going, you know, and a lot of this may very well be like a duck, you know, on the surface of the pond. It's very calm, cool, and collected, you know. Not to worry, this is not going to turn into a pandemic. We're not all going to die. And then underneath the surface, of course, they are paddling like crazy. The real question at that point then becomes, are they doing all this paddling upstream? That is to say, are they too far behind the power curve to be able to get out in front of this? You know, on the text line, Bob, truly scary part, hundreds of thousands left the Wuhan area and went worldwide. Correct, they did. Bobby, quiet. Shh. Both SARS and corona are bioweapons attacks. SARS was trying to show W-43. He hadn't put enough thought to invading Iraq. I'd watched 3,000 of Chinese government get rallied to the idea of retaking Taiwan, told Bush in a letter, SARS warned Beijing, don't get any ideas on Taiwan. There's more on this, and we'll share some of it on the other side. Annie's ready to go in the news center right now. 6:29 here on the Bobby Mack Show, the Monday edition, here on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. It is 6:35 now, 25 before 7 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Boneheads is still coming up. Many of the people apparently involved in dealing with the coronavirus could qualify in that regard. And look, I'm not trying to spark a panic here. That is the last thing that I would want to do. I am merely passing along to you information, as usual, that the lamestream media refuses to share, which will make you more aware of the severity of what we may face. And much of this information comes from people inside these affected countries. And again, this information is all available at the ZeroHedge.com website, including this one today. Now that the coronavirus pandemic has started to spread across the globe at an alarming speed and is accelerating every day, with infected clusters emerging in South Korea, Japan, Italy, and Iran. Can you imagine what would happen to the petrochemical markets, the gas prices and all the rest? They have to shut down the wells. With more people dying from COVID-19 outside of China, questions are again swirling what the real source of the pandemic was. And this time, with countless lives at stake, China will no longer be able to give a vague, undefined response like, well, somebody ate a bat at the primitive food market in Wuhan, especially if Beijing has decided that it will soon need a scapegoat to distract the increasingly furious population from its own disastrous handling of and ongoing lies about the viral pandemic. By the way, one of the pieces of advice from the Chinese Communist Party today was, if you follow the party line, you'll be safe. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate that advice. In that vein, we found a fascinating that none other than China's nationalist propaganda mouthpiece, the Global Times, published a report overnight which dramatically changes the narrative, namely that a, quote, new Chinese study indicates novel coronavirus did not originate in Hunan Seafood Market. According to the brand new study by Chinese researchers published February 21st, the novel coronavirus may have begun human-to-human transmission, in late November from a place other than the Hunan Seafood Market in Wuhan. Of course, we already knew that, but what is critical is that until now, Beijing was adamant in sticking to the official narrative that it was the Hunan Seafood Market in Wuhan where the disease emerged, despite not providing any information on what animal was the vector or who was patient zero. However, now that this narrative has been officially questioned and challenged in a media outlet of the Communist Party, it is safe to say that the theory of the food market being the source of the pandemic is officially dead. The study, published on China XIV, a Chinese open repository for scientific researchers, that's China 14, reveals the new coronavirus was introduced to the seafood market from another location and then spread rapidly from market to market. The findings, the result of analysis of genome-wide data, sources of infection, and the route of the spread of 93 samples of the coronavirus collected from 12 countries across four continents. An earlier expansion occurred on December 8th, implying human-to-human transmission may have started in early December or late November and then accelerated when it reached the Hunan Seafood Market. Patients from Australia, France, Japan, and the U.S., countries with wider samples, have had at least two sources of infection, and the U.S. in particular has reported five. However, based on limited samples in other countries, the source of most infections is deemed to be the same. In addition to their contact history with Wuhan, some may have been infected in South China's Guangdong province and Singapore, according to the reports. Also worth noting at the same time that even China was questioning the official narrative, the New York Post published an article which sounds vaguely familiar. Don't buy China's story. The coronavirus may have leaked from a lab, in which the author writes the evidence points to SARS-CoV-2 research being carried out at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The virus may have been carried out of the lab by an infected worker or crossed over into humans when they unknowingly dined on a lab animal. Whatever the vector, Beijing authorities are now clearly scrambling to correct the serious problems with the way their labs handle deadly pathogens. Good idea. Let's slam the doors on the barn after the equines have already exited the facility. To the phones we go. Wes is along. He is in Greer. Hi, Wes, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, Bobby. You know, I'm curious. I read about 2 weeks ago, and I'm like you. I can't remember what website it was on. It's just through daily reading.
Yeah.
But they talked about, I guess, corno or whatever the technical word is for this thing. There's a lot of different types of this bacteria, okay, because I didn't know much about it.
But yes.
Do you know that this bacteria was stolen supposedly from a Canadian research laboratory, okay, by some Chinese scientists? And
that's an interesting supposition, considering that a number of Harvard professors who deal in chemistry and biochemistry now have been recently charged with giving information that could help them in their research to Red China. FBI has just charged them.
Well, what they're thinking is, you know, I guess it's one step away from. This is a good trial run, and this is what they were experimenting. The way they put it was they go back to China with it and now work on the military side of this thing. Okay, and that's what they thought, and that's where this guy was saying that he thinks that's where it came from.
Well, what's even worse, the military bio-grade weapon is the one that got released. And look, if they, as suggested in that article from China, somebody walked out of the lab contaminated with it. Didn't we just hear about being asymptomatic and walking around with it? You may show no symptoms at all and still be a carrier.
Well, let's be honest, Bobby. I mean, you know, China's the only place on Earth. I mean, let's actually think about how fast these people have stopped travel. I'm sure it's draconian compared to anything else in the history of mankind. Okay, I don't think there's ever been any way to isolate that many people. And look at how it's burning through them over there. Yeah. They're doing things that they could never do over here to us, and it's still spreading like wildfire.
Yeah,
so that's another interesting twist to this whole thing.
It is, and it's pretty disturbing. Thank you, Wes. Some of the videos that I have seen are truly frightening. I've shared with you on Friday the one of the people trying to get away from either police or military who were armed with weapons and dressed in biohazard gear, actually shooting someone who was trying to get away from them. There have been other reports that have been equally disturbing. I saw a video earlier today as well of a guy being stopped at a checkpoint where, again, we had military personnel dressed in biohazard gear. And the driver of the car was stopped. Somebody went up to the window with one of the thermometers that you can put on your forehead, and then they stepped back, and they obviously were telling the guy to get out of the car, and he tried to run in the car. And they pulled a bus out in front of him and stopped him. And then they hauled him out of the car and took him off to who knows where. It's pretty frightening. One other report, China's fake coronavirus numbers exposed. Doctor in Hunan confirms 50 new cases, only one of which was reported. And again, you know, in a tyrannical regime like in Red China, they can clamp down to that extent, but still, stuff is going to get out. 7:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. That's our COVID-19 update for the day, and I'm sure there'll be more to come, sadly. When we come back on the other side, today's edition of Boneheads in the News, as we head towards the closing minutes of the Bobby Mack Show here on Monday. Welcome back. 6:49 here on the Bobby Mack Show, and time for us to squeeze in today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, some crooks are easier to catch than others. Three Florida men. Here we go, Florida man stories. Robbed a CVS last month and stole 10,000 or so opioid pills, but as they sped away, they emptied the pill bottles into their own bag and threw the bottles out the window. Yeah, the cops merely followed the trail of bottles to their house, where they were arrested, as you might imagine. Yeah. Well, this is sad news. 64-year-old daredevil Mad Mike Hughes died on Saturday when his homemade rocket crashed outside Barstow, California. You may remember Mike had been building steam-powered rockets for a while, was in the news because he claimed he wanted to prove the Earth was flat. Well, was the part he landed on. Now at least one of his people says it was just to get press and he wasn't really a flat earther. A crew from the Science Channel was there filming it for a show called Homemade Astronauts. Sadly, there was a major malfunction with his parachute and backup chutes, so the rocket came straight back down and crashed into the desert, killing him. Mike, by the way, had been a previous pre-contender for the Darwin Awards, and now he's managed to make it. Well, on one hand, this sounds like just about most interesting Valentine's Day promotion in the country. On the other hand, anything this crazy can't be legal, and it's not. 32-year-old Lizette Villalocli is the manager of a bar called Chiquita's Lounge in Norcross, Georgia. So on Valentine's Day, she held a special contest at the bar, a live sex contest. Put a bed on the dance floor, promised $500 to the couple that demonstrated the best sex act. Some did with their clothes on, others really demonstrated the sex acts. And even though she was probably ineligible to win the money, she participated herself. Yeah, it was very illegal. She violated two ordinances, providing entertainment that features nudity and promoting a contest encouraging people to engage in, you guessed it, sexual activity. Nice going at 2-for-1 there. A surfer in New Zealand survived a great white shark attack on Saturday by punching it in the eye and yelling, F off. Here's what he had to say.
It came and hit me from the left side as I was paddling and chomped down on the front of the board. Thankfully, it wasn't me in the middle of the board or where it would have got my torso or arm. It was just looking at me with a big eye. So I punched it, aiming for the eye, and yelled F off as loud as I could. It was almost like a theme park show. You'd expect it to be a mechanical one, Universal Studios or Kelly Tarleton's or something, but it was a real one.
Well, you do what you got to do when Bruce the Shark comes after you. Two drunk drivers in Michigan both had the same idea. Let's go to Mickey D's and get something to eat. But then, unfortunately, they, the story says, fell asleep. I would say more like passed out in the McDonald's drive-thru.
911, what is the address of the emergency?
McDonald's.
What's going on there?
We just got like three people sleeping in the drive-thru.
Yeah, what? I'm sorry.
Three cars, they all sleep in the drive-thru.
All right, we'll have someone up there as soon as we can, okay?
All right, thank you.
Wake up!
He's asleep too.
Hey, wake up!
You're double the legal limit, my man. Turn around, put your hands behind your back, go to arrest for operating while intoxicated, okay?
Yeah, did I mention this is about 3 in the morning? Both the drivers were drunk, didn't know each other. They just both decided to go to Mickey's at the same time and then couldn't stay awake long enough to get their order in. There you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
And let's quickly get back to the phones and say hi to Jim, who is in Greenville. Hi, Jim, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. I have a friend who's a microbiologist. She's about 55, and she's informed me of a couple things and sent me to some websites.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've read is that in the COVID-19 virus, they have found 3 proteins that are associated with the HIV virus.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the type of receptor that the COVID virus will attract to is the ACE2 receptor
okay. In
the RNA sequence inside a cell. Well, that is something that is highly prominent in Asians, but not in Europeans or Africans. So it's possible that the Asians are going to get it worse. And the final thing is, I saw that same video you did
right.
of the checkpoint where
yes.
it looked like the guy got through.
Right.
I think that was a training video, but that in itself means this is what they're planning on doing.
You know, my assessment of that was exactly the same as yours, Jim, because they had a sign posted that gave that impression that they were running some sort of drill. But again, as you suggest, why are they running this kind of drill if there's no real problem they may have to contend with?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen some other scary ones. People in towns, their buildings getting welded shut.
Right.
We may think that they're being draconian, but that may also be the only way to stop it. And that's a scary thought.
Yep, it certainly is. Jim, thank you very much for the call and the information from your friend. Wow. There are a lot of moving parts to this story that we may not know about for quite some time. I got to wrap things up for this evening. I believe that the great one, Mark Levin, is back tonight after his trip to Israel. I'll be taking a trip home, and then I'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great evening. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.